The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher, back alongside my boy Alan Flores, back to bring you another edition of the Straight Cash Podcast for week 13 of the 2018 season, where we're going to break down every single game from the upcoming Sunday slate of week 13 action. We got the Raiders taking on the Chiefs. We got Richard Sherman playing in a revenge game against the Seattle Seahawks. We got Sunday night, the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Los Angeles Chargers in a potential playoff matchup, and we ended off with Monday Night Football, a division matchup between the Washington Redskins and the Philadelphia Eagles. That's right, we've got every single game from week 13 of the 2018 season, so let's not waste any more time. Randy, let these people know what time it is.
Straight Cash, homie.
That's right, Randy. It's time for the Straight Cash Podcast right here on the Bay's Golden Days Network. And you guys know the routine by now. This is the Bay's Golden Days. So, of course, we're going to start off in the Bay Area, where we got burned by both teams last week. The 49ers got blown out against the Buccaneers, and the Oakland Raiders were a tuck rule away from covering against the Ravens. But, hey, as Raider fans, we all know the tuck rule should have never been around in the first fucking place, so we can't complain about that one. But it was another loss for the Raiders this weekend against the Ravens, 34-17. They kept it close for three quarters, which has pretty much been the story of the season for the Raiders the whole entire year. Now they got to come back at home and play the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, those Kansas City Chiefs, the 9-2 Kansas City Chiefs, coming off a bye week as if they needed extra time to prepare for the Oakland Raiders. Get this, Andy Reid, yeah, he's undefeated coming off of bye weeks in his career. I've done this before. I've been doing this podcast for the past 2-3 years. The Chiefs, it seems like every year, they come off their bye and they beat the shit out of the Raiders, so that's exactly what I'm expecting, and that's exactly what Vegas is expecting too, Alan, because they got the Chiefs as a -14.5, some places -15.5 point favorite over the Raiders, and I wouldn't be surprised if they covered. I mean, you're talking about a team in the Kansas City Chiefs that smacked the Raiders the past couple years. I've been saying it for years. The Chiefs have had our numbers. Andy Reid has had our numbers. We had to beat the Chiefs to take this division back, but obviously we're in a rebuilding stage. That's for another day. But this Chiefs team with Alex Smith the past couple years, they're averaging over 33 points per game with Alex Smith. Now they got Patrick Mahomes. Now they got Tyreek Hill. Now they got fucking Kareem Hunt in the backfield. I mean, now they got all these weapons on this team. Obviously they're with Alex Smith, but they're playing as a whole nother offense now with Patrick Mahomes. He's balling out. The redshirt rookie, if you want to call him that, he's having an absolutely phenomenal year, and I look for that to continue in Oakland. I mean, I've talked about it all year long. Everything's gone downhill from the Raiders while things are looking uphill for the Chiefs. If they could put up 33 points again with Alex Smith, they can easily put up 40 to 50 points with Patrick Mahomes. So I like the Chiefs to win this game big by that 2-touchdown spread. I like the over at 55.5. But like I said, the arrow is going up for the Kansas City Chiefs, who play at Arrowhead Stadium, while the arrow is going down in the Coliseum. The Raiders, obviously, we know the story. They've gotten worse since last year. They traded away their two best players, Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. Now they've got 11 players on the injured reserve this year. The Raiders are just too beat up. The season's already thrown in the bag, already looking forward to Vegas. Yeah, I don't think the Raiders got any chance at all this weekend against the Chiefs. Look for the Chiefs to win big by that 2-touchdown spread. But look for a shootout. Look for the over to hit of over 55 points, Al.
Oh, goddamn. I don't think I really got to say much about this. This is going to be a pure blowout. The only thing I must say about this, because I've been to Raider games, clearly because Steelers have been there, I've heard fans talk about how pussies the Kansas City Chiefs fans are, and I bet you they're just going to stroll up in there like they're the fucking soldiers of the universe for this fucking team. That's how good the Chiefs are doing, that the fans are probably going to grow some sacks and not be some pussies in the Coliseum. With that being said, I am calling Kelce over 100-yard game and 2 touchdowns. This is going to be a blowout just with the tight end, only because I know – Because Marcus, I hang out with the man almost every day, and he says it all the time. Watch the tight end. Watch the tight end. And Kelce is like, what, top three tight end in the fucking NFL right now?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't really think I have to say much about this. I like the 55 because I think the Chiefs are going to put up 55. And you know what? I'm sorry. It's going to sound disrespectful, but it is what it is. This is the business of the podcast. So for all the Raider fans that are all mad, that are probably going to be extra mad because Marcus is just letting down the Raiders, it's reality. I'm sorry, guys. And if they're going to be playing the hottest fucking NFL team right now, just accept it and just win some money out of this, okay? 55 on the over, 14 on the Chiefs, baby.
Yeah, business is business, no doubt about it. I'm right there with you, Al, taking over, taking the Chiefs by the points. You might be scared by these big point totals, but get this. The over is 4-1 in games that Oakland has played at home against the Kansas City Chiefs since the start of the 2013 season. And the Chiefs, shit, they cover all the time against the Raiders. Like I said, they're 12-3 against the spread when facing an AFC West opponent since the start of the 2016 season. This division has been the Chiefs, and it's going to stay the Chiefs for a little bit longer because I don't think the Chargers got a big chance, but we'll get to that when we get to Allen on Sunday Night Football. Oh, yeah. But for my squad, for the Raiders, I gave you guys the preview. I said they're only going to win against the Cardinals probably the rest of the season. They got to win against the Cardinals, so be happy and just be prepared to be blown out this weekend by the Kansas City Chiefs. Look for the Chiefs to win by that 14.5, and look for the over to hit of 55.5. And then let's jump over to the other side of the Bay Area where the 49ers will actually be taking a road trip up to the Pacific Northwest where they will be taking on the Seattle Seahawks, and Richard Sherman will be back with the 12th man for the first time in his career, trying to get some revenge against the Seahawks. And I don't think he's really got that good of a chance because Vegas has the Seattle Seahawks favored by 10 points over the 49ers. Yes, a double-digit point spread over the 49ers after an impressive victory last week against the Carolina Panthers, winning 30-27. Al was on that pick, said, hey, take the Seahawks, and he was absolutely right. The Seahawks, we've talked about it all year. They're running the ball great. Russell Wilson's playing great, and now they might get Doug Baldwin back from a groin injury. So that's going to be a huge matchup going against his ex-buddy Richard Sherman out on the corner. I look for Richard Sherman to try to make a play, but he's only one half of the field, so they're going to get burned on the other half. And honestly, I just don't think that Nick Mullins is going to keep pace with Russell Wilson, to be honest. So I got no problem taking the Seahawks by 10 points. I know I say all the time, double-digit point spreads are kind of sketchy, but get this. Seattle has won 9 straight against the San Francisco 49ers by an average margin of 11 points. They've covered the spread the past 9 times by double digits. Yeah, I got no problem taking the Seattle Seahawks by 10 points this weekend over the San Francisco 49ers, Al.
Oh, my God. All these Niner fans. You know, I got to tell you about these Niner fans. First, Garoppolo was the hero. And then Mullins comes in and beats the Raiders, and all of a sudden he's the hero, and he hasn't won a game since. And not only has he not won a game since, he got fucking destroyed by the Bucks. Okay? Bucks defense, they've been on and off. But since Mullins was such a hero and such a high-caliber quarterback to some people, where was the points? What'd they fucking lose? Like, what, 27-7 or something like that? It was just god-awful.
Terrible.
So just imagine what they're going to do at the 12th man stadium. Just imagine what they're going to do against this defense who has actually been stopping teams who I thought that they wouldn't stop. What's going to happen when Richard Sherman gets fucking burnt by Tyler Lockett? And I guarantee you that the Seahawks are probably going to give him a nice little encore. I mean, Sherman didn't leave like fucking Earl Thomas wanted to. It was business. Everyone should understand. So I feel like Sherman is going to get a nice welcoming. But, yeah, Seahawks minus 10. That sounds like a fucking good one to me. I mean, yeah, we say don't do the double digits, but hey, sometimes you got to go with your gut and go with that double digit. And what the Niners are playing the last couple games, I don't see them winning or losing by 10. I see them losing by 20.
Yeah, I could definitely see this being a blowout. Also, like I said, Seattle has won their last 9 by an average of more than 11 points against the San Francisco 49ers. And the Seattle Seahawks are 12-2 against the spread in games played against the San Francisco 49ers since the start of the 2011 season. So it seems like if there's any for sure locks in that NFC West, it's when the Seattle Seahawks play the San Francisco 49ers. So go ahead and lock up the Seahawks this week, especially against the banged up 49ers offense where Pierre Garçon, we still don't know what's going on with him and his knee injury. Marquise Goodwin stepped away from the team for personal issues this week. I mean, who the hell is Nick Mullins going to throw the ball to? If George Kittle doesn't go off, they don't got no chance at all in this game. So, yeah, I'm definitely going for the Seahawks to win big.
Not to mention, Roman Foster decided to go to Washington. So, I mean, their fucking defense, they're also going to get fucking plowed as well. That was probably their best player. Now what the fuck are they going to do?
Oh, Reuben Foster, what a dumbass. You want to talk about the reincarnation of Rolando McClain? Talk about an Alabama linebacker coming to the Bay Area and absolutely fucking up. But we could do a whole entire podcast on Reuben Foster and fucking Rolando McClain, but we'll save that for another day. For us, let's go ahead and keep on moving now as we move on to the full Sunday slate. Let's go ahead and kick it off with the Colts taking on the Jaguars this week in an interesting AFC South Division matchup, because it seems like nobody really wants to win this AFC South between the Texans, the Colts, the Jaguars, and the Titans. It seems like it truly is a free-for-all, three flies up. Who wants to take advantage of this division? And honestly, it's looking like Andrew Luck is making the most moves for it, because the Colts are hot. They've been winning games lately. They won last week against the Dolphins 27-24, while the Jacksonville Jaguars, they've just been falling apart left and right. They're getting people benched. I mean, god damn it, the Jaguars can't cover to save their life. They're now sitting a 3-8 record on the year, and like I said, people are getting benched. Literally, Blake Bortles is benched. Blake Bortles will not be starting this week. It will be Cody Kessler. Yes, the old ex-backup for the Cleveland Browns when the Cleveland Browns couldn't win a game to save their lives. Yes, Cody Kessler is coming in to make his first start for the Jacksonville Jaguars this weekend, and he won't even have Leonard Fournette in his backfield. Yes, Leonard Fournette got in a fight last week against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, first you lose to the Buffalo Bills, then you lose a fight to the Buffalo Bills, then you get suspended and lose a game. After that, if Leonard Fournette hasn't missed as many games as he's missed already this season, now he's missing another one just to top it off. Then you have Jalen Ramsey dealing with a knee injury as well. I mean, there's just too many pieces banged up. They're two best players, Fournette and Ramsey. You don't even know if both of them are going to play this weekend. I'm definitely taking the Colts, and I'm definitely taking Andrew Luck. Even though Marlon Mack is questionable with the concussion, I think he comes back. Even if he doesn't play, Nyheim Hines has a good game. They lost Jack Doyle. They're blocking tight end, but Eric Ebron is scoring at a ridiculous pace from the tight end position. I mean, the Colts, they're just too hot right now. Andrew Luck finally got sacked last game, but I mean, the offensive line is keeping them up for the most part. I'm looking for the Colts to roll and try to get some separation in the AFC South. I'm definitely taking the Colts by 4 points in this game, Al.
Oh, please, don't even fucking say anymore. After the shit show I seen last week with the Jaguars, I'm never betting on them again, because for the one main reason, it was against the fucking Bills, okay? Okay, Josh Allen, big whoop. That fucking guy is only a rookie, and he did this on this fucking defense. And let me say something about that defense. They could have had Jalen Ramsey this week still, and I don't think it would matter that the Colts would win, because Jalen Ramsey was there calling everyone in the sideline trash, and he's over here getting fucking burnt by someone. I don't even know who the fuck that guy was, number 16. Like, this whole fucking defense just fell apart. They are not who they were last year, and I do not see them fucking covering Andrew Luck, because guess what? Andrew Luck is the truth. We've been saying that ever since he came back from his major injury. Andrew Luck is no one to be fucked with. This Miami defense was not even that bad. I mean, the same corner picked Luck off twice, but that still didn't matter. Luck still prevailed, and he's going to prevail in Jacksonville, especially with Bortles. I am so glad Bortles is finally gone. I mean, everyone was kind of comparing him to Roethlisberger when he started. That was disrespectful to Roethlisberger, okay? Don't ever, ever say that comparison again. This guy was lucky to even have 127 yards last week. So, no, the Jacksonville Jaguars is the shit show team of the week last week, and I do not see them doing any better against the Colts. We're going to go with the Colts, and I do like the over. The over is 48, because fucking Colts, they're probably going to put up 25, 28 points alone. Okay, I can see maybe Kessler getting a little bit of work in. He might throw a little bit to Westbrook and Cole. They might get their bullshit-ass touchdowns like they did last week, because all their fucking touchdowns were bullshit, except Fournette's. But that's not going to be enough to beat the Colts. So, Marcus, take it away.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be enough to beat the Colts, especially if Fournette's not even playing. If that's the only guy who can score touchdowns for him, I don't think Cody Kessler is really going to put up any points at all. So I'm actually going to go opposite from you, Al. I'm taking the under on the 48. I think Andrew Luck gets enough points to win, but I think the Jacksonville Jaguars, their defense, who knows if they're going to show up like they did against the Steelers. I think Luck, regardless, is going to have a couple touchdowns, but maybe they keep them. It might be a game whoever scores first 21 points. I like the Colts to win this game, no doubt, by 4 points, but I like the under 48 points. I mean, the under is 10-1 in games that Indianapolis has played in the second half of the season since the start of the midway point of 2017. So it's going to be interesting to see if Andrew Luck can keep this offense going or if they run into a wall a little bit. Regardless, at the end of the day, we both like the Colts to win this game because, honestly, Cody Kessler, you're not betting on him in the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No, absolutely not. But the only reason why I see that going over is because we've seen what Andrew Luck did to the Titans defense. And we were kind of praising the Titans defense at that time, too. We thought that they were going to be a real deal, yet they got 38 points let up on them. I could see at the most Luck putting up 30, and then if he puts up over 30, that's just going to be a blessing for that pick for on the over.
Cody Kessler, I don't got confidence in him to put up 18 points, though, so I'm taking under. Agree, but we disagree at the same time. We're both agreeing to take the Colts, and let's keep on moving out as the next game we got up is the Rams taking on the Lions. This game will take place in Detroit. Detroit coming off that Thursday night football loss against the Bears on Thanksgiving, 23-16, and it was not something to be thankful for Lions fans because they lost, and they still do not have Kerryon Johnson. He was still out of practice this week. I know Allen's probably got an update for that because he's got him on his dynasty team. But, hey, he still might not play this week, and that's not going to be good news at all because they need as many weapons as they can to try to take out this Rams offense, who is 10-1. They're coming off a bye week. We saw the week before the bye, they had the biggest shootout ever in NFL history pretty much. I think this game is going to be easy victory for the Rams. The Detroit Lions look like they're ready to quit on Matt Patricia, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know what the hell the Lions have been doing all season. Matthew Stafford is having one of his worst years. Like I said, they're missing their rookie running back now. That was probably their only bright spot on that offense. I just don't see any way the Detroit Lions win this game. The Rams are favored by 10, so we're back with another double-digit spread, but I'm right there with the Chiefs. The Chiefs got a double-digit spread against the Raiders coming off a bye week, 2 weeks to prepare. Now, the Rams got 2 weeks to prepare. I think Sean McVay is going to score easily on this offense. I think Aaron Donald is going to tear up Matthew Stafford. I think this defense is going to slow him down. They could be getting Aqib Talib back this week, so the defense is going to improve even more. I think the Rams got everything going for them right now. They haven't been great against the spread all season long, but I expect this to be a blowout. I think the Rams win big on the road. I got no problem taking the Rams, Jared Goff, and Todd Gurley coming off a bye to beat the Lions by more than 10 points.
Yeah, you said it right there. Like, the Rams have been, you know, they've been really hard to take during the spreads, but this is 1 week you're probably going to have to take. By 10, I'm actually surprised it's not more than 10 because, again, the way the Lions have been playing has just been pure awful. Stafford is having probably the worst year of his career. I mean, he doesn't win playoffs, but he's Stafford. He's known to just fucking fling the ball up to Calvin Johnson, and then once he was gone, he was still flinging the ball up to fucking Golden Tate. Stafford is not that bad of a quarterback, but I do not know what his issue is this season. And especially against the Rams, it's not going to help his cause. Marcus Peters is probably going to fucking make him his bitch. And Kerryon Johnson did not participate in practice. So, yes, I am the expert on that in that fucking sense. So, yeah, he did not participate. I don't see him playing. Theodore Riddick is not going to fucking do much. Neither is LeGarrette Blount. Those guys have been kind of quiet the last few weeks of the season. They've been kind of quiet all season. Kerryon Johnson has been known as the featured back in that fucking team, because he deserves it. He's been putting in the work, and if he's not in there, we're definitely not going to give the Lions any type of chance to even cover that spread. And what is the over-under on that one?
55 points, Al.
55 points. Well, Marcus, what do you think about that? I want to see your opinion first.
You know, anytime the Rams are playing, I feel like they got a chance to hit the over. I mean, this is a team where historically Matthew Stafford the past couple seasons has been the expert of garbage time points. So you would think, hell, the Rams, they can easily hang up a 40 burger on this Detroit Lions defense. All you need is 15 from the Lions. I got a lot more confidence in Matt Stafford than I do in Cody Kessler, for example. So I think the Lions could put up 21 points in this game. That leaves what? About 34 points for the Rams. I think they can do that. I will take the over in this game and take Jared Goff and Todd Gurley to have a big game coming off that bye week.
All right. I like it. I mean, look, we've seen the Rams put up over 50 the last game that they had, but that was a Chiefs team who could also put up the numbers as much as the fucking Rams could. This is not the Chiefs team. This is the Lions. Galladay, he might have two tugs. He might, you know, but yeah, like you're saying, I can see the Rams putting up a good 40 spot and the Lions, all they got to do is put up what? 15, 16. So yeah, I guess that's true. We can see the over on that one. Let's agree to agree right there.
Let's agree on it. And hey, if you're kind of being sketchy at home, trying not to agree with the double-digit point spread, like we said, the Rams have not been the greatest team against the spread this season. But the Detroit Lions have been even worse. And get this, the Detroit Lions are 2-8 against the spread in the second half of the season when facing a team with a winning record since the midway point of the 2016 season. So Matthew Stafford, Allen mentioned it, in the playoffs he falls apart. In December he starts to fall apart. So let's go ahead and stick with the Rams with the 2 weeks off the bye to cover this double-digit point spread and get it done this weekend in Detroit. Let's go ahead and move on to our next matchup now. We got the Baltimore Ravens and the Atlanta Falcons, which should be probably one of the more intriguing matchups matchups of the week. This is only a 1-point spread, and the Falcons are favored by 1 point. Some books actually got the Ravens favored by 1 point. So, hey, this is more of a pick 'em matchup. Pick your poison. Who are you going to go with? The Baltimore Ravens, that defense, and Lamar Jackson taking over once again. Now 2-0 in the Lamar Jackson era, but this is obviously not the Bengals, not the Raiders. It's the Falcons, who should be one of the better teams this year. They have been actually struggling now, 4-7. And going into this game, it's actually interesting because the Ravens still have a shot at the playoffs, while the Falcons playing in the NFC South looks like they're losing the playoff hopes faster and faster every single day. So it seems like the Ravens should be playing with momentum, should be playing with Lamar Jackson. But I wasn't that impressed with Lamar Jackson throwing the ball last week against the Raiders, to be honest. Obviously, he had that long 70-yard rush at the end of the game. He had a couple passes here and there. But to go back and forth with Matt Ryan in this offense, obviously the Ravens' defense is going to have to slow down Matt Ryan. But I think the Falcons might be able to outshoot Lamar Jackson in this matchup. This is a close one for me, and that's why it's a pick-em matchup. The over-under stat at 49. Man, this one's tough. Baltimore coming off a win. Falcons coming off a loss. The Falcons could be getting better on defense. Deion Jones has been practicing, but it's still questionable to know whether he comes back or not. And I think that's going to be a huge factor in this game because Deion Jones, as a linebacker, is one of the fastest guys on the Atlanta Falcons defense. So if he's playing, you can get a QB spy on Lamar Jackson the whole game. I like the odds in that matchup of Deion Jones being able to track down Lamar Jackson. So if he's playing, I'm definitely taking the Falcons to win in a moneyline pick'em game. But man, this is a close matchup. Alan, you got any insight coming from a fellow AFC North fan?
Only the fact that if Lamar Jackson starts flinging the ball a lot more, then I can see them winning. But yeah, this is a tough one, man. I personally want to take the Falcons just because I don't want the Ravens to get any more wins as far as playoff spots. But like Marcus said, Ravens are playing for a playoff spot while the Falcons aren't really playing. They're just playing to play. So in the end, who's really motivated to get this win? I mean, this is just, it's just a weird game. This Ravens defense has been slowing down, though. So, of course, this Falcons offense, Julio Jones can fucking pick everyone apart. Matt Ryan, you know, he's iffy. He's inconsistent. Marcus, you would know. He's on your fucking dynasty team. So, it's like, I'm sure it's a flip of a coin if you want to start him or not.
Hell, I'm almost thinking about starting Lamar Jackson over Matt Ryan this week.
I don't blame you, though, because if you look at what Lamar Jackson does, this guy, 2 games, and he's got over 100 yards rushing. But like you said, if Deion Jones, who has actually been limited in practice, if he does play, that could change a lot more, and that could make Lamar Jackson throw more. But will that be enough to beat the Falcons? I mean, I think that maybe if he starts throwing the ball more, he would have a good chance, because I don't knock Lamar Jackson. The guy's only played 2 games. He's not doing too bad. But you got to think of the experience that's going on compared. You got Matt Ryan, then you got Lamar Jackson. And this defense for the Falcons has actually been looking better than I thought. So I do think that the Falcons take this, especially by one, especially if it's by one. If it's by 1 point, you got to take the Falcons, because if anything, they could win by 3. That's all you need right there.
Yeah, that would be all you need. And like I said, this is truly a pick 'em game. Falcons are favored by 1 on some sites, while the Ravens are favored by 1 on other sites. And the over-under in this game, 49 points. I think it really comes down to the preference of who you think is going to win. Because if you think the Falcons are going to win, yeah, I think it's going to be over. But if you think the Ravens are going to win, I think it will be under. Because obviously they'll be slowing down that Falcons offense. That defense will be coming through clutch. And so if you think the Ravens are going to win, I'd go with the under. But if the Falcons are going to win, you're going to have Lamar Jackson running all over this defense trying to play catch up late, so I think it'll be over. That's where it goes back and forth. But if I'm taking the Falcons, I might have to take the over. Al, where are you at on that one?
Oh, I'm taking the over because I do see Lamar Jackson getting at least probably 2 touchdowns just by rushing. And then they still got that fucking Edwards guy. Who knows what the fuck he might do? He might get a fucking touchdown. But yeah, Julio Jones is probably, like I said, Julio Jones is probably going to be a bully. He's probably going to get a touchdown or two. Calvin Ridley is also limited in practice, but if he plays, that's going to be another advantage for Matt Ryan. So I like that. Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith haven't been really producing the way everyone thought. It looks like Devontae Freeman maybe have been missed a lot, but, you know, it's the Ravens. Their defense has been deteriorating, so they could just do enough to win by one.
Yeah, they could do enough to win by one. They could do enough to lose by one. I mean, this isn't the greatest game to bet on this week. Obviously, we're not leaning either way. But, hey, this is the Bay's Golden Days. So we're going to give you every single pick every single week, no matter what, even if we don't like the spread, because, hey, we're trying to win you some money. And that's what we do every week right here on the Bay's Golden Days. So let's go ahead and continue with two teams that, honestly, I wouldn't even want the money if they won me some money, because these are two teams that I don't want to watch at all. The Bills, it seems like every week they're in the National, don't want to watch this game of the week. And I just think this is another game where it's truly, truly pathetic between the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. It's a great kind of metaphor for what the AFC East is: trash. The AFC East is the AFC weak, the AFC trash, the AFC last, whatever you want to call it. The Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins is going to be a terrible game. The Dolphins are favored by 5 points. I don't understand it. Just by 5, I mean, I'm kind of going with the same logic I did when I talked about the last trash game we talked about, when it was the Jets and the Bills. Bet on the points, because either way, this game will probably be decided by a field goal, and I'm not betting on Tannehill, so why not bet on Josh Allen, who looked decent last week, and LeSean McCoy? He could have one of those big breakout games. The Dolphins' defense has been terrible this year. We've talked about it all year long, so I think this might be one of those few weeks that we get a rare sighting of LeSean McCoy, so I'm going to go ahead and take Shady McCoy plus 5 points in his Buffalo Bills defense to slow down Ryan Tannehill and the Dolphins this weekend in Miami, Al.
Yeah, this fucking game is trash. I'm not even going to get into much detail. All I'm going to say is, yeah, I'm taking the Bills plus 5, and I'm taking the under on 40.5. This game, I'm going to predict it right here and now. This game is probably going to be like the Jets and the Dolphins. Completely fucking boring. I don't care if Josh Allen is back, and I don't care what the fuck he's done to this Jags defense. I just don't care. Both these teams are going to be just purely trash this week. I can see them ending in a goddamn tie, fucking 16-16. That's what I can fucking see. This is going to be a pure defensive game because, you know, Josh Allen is also inconsistent. Sure, he beat the fucking Vikings, and then he loses like 3 more games. He'll beat the fucking Jets, and then, no, he wasn't playing for the Jets, but you guys get what I'm talking about. So I'm not going to go any deeper thought. I'm just going to take the Bills plus 5, only because they fucking did what they had to do against the Jags, and I don't think anyone saw that coming. I mean, maybe my dad, but fuck him. So, yeah, we're just going to go with the Bills on that, and I'm going on the under 40.5.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Al. The Buffalo Bills are actually 7-3 against the spread in games played against Miami since the start of the 2013 season, so the Buffalo Bills have been playing extremely well against the Dolphins, and get this, the Dolphins have only scored an average of only 18 points per game versus Buffalo in their 12 meetups since the start of the 2012 season. So Miami, for whatever reason, can never score on Buffalo. I think the Buffalo defense comes big, holds them underneath that 40.5 points, and we're getting them plus 5 points. Yeah, let's go ahead and lock in the Bills this week against the Miami Dolphins.
Let's just also talk about the Dolphins are probably going to be out of a running back. Kenyon Drake is fucking limited, and Frank Gore didn't even participate.
How dare you say out of a running back when Frank Gore is on pace for over 1,000 yards
again
this season.
But no, that's what I'm saying. He did not participate.
OG so he's Frank probably, Gore always plays.
Look, we'll see. I'm just saying he did not participate, and if he does not participate now, clearly there's something wrong with him, so he probably won't even be 100% even if he plays this game. Sure, if he gets his on pace, whatever he's getting, sure, get your fucking money, boy. Get your work in. But they're not making money for our podcast. I don't give a shit what he does. All I'm saying is, if he doesn't play and Kenyon Drake is limited, that's just going to be even worse. That's just going to make my fucking argument about being under even better.
Yeah, that's true, but I'm pretty sure Frank Gore just doesn't practice anymore. The dude's like 40 years. They give him like 4 days off a week. He doesn't need to practice, and he's literally like Pro Football Focus ratings has him as a top 5 running back this year. His efficiency and the way that he's running. So, hey, always got to give the shout-outs to OG Frank Gore. Obviously was a Niner lover here in the Bay Area for a long time. OG Frank Gore out of the U. So let's put some respect on Frank Gore's name, but let's go ahead and just disrespect this game even more, because like we said, we don't want to watch it. So let's just go ahead and keep on moving now to a game where it should be interesting, should be a shootout and a matchup between the Carolina Panthers versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This game is set with the Panthers favored by 3.5 points on the road. The over-under is set at 55.5, and this is a game where I'm going all in on the Panthers. You guys know I've been all in the Panthers all year long. I took them wrongly to beat the Seahawks last week. I picked them the week before against the Lions, and they fucked up on that 2-point conversion, but they need a win this week. They went from 6-3 to 6-5 real quick, and like I said, the NFC South is one hell of a division. They're right above Atlanta, but they're still trying to catch up with the Saints now. Maybe they got a little bit of gap to close with the Saints losing on Thursday night against the fucking Cowboys. I don't even want to get into that matchup, but the Carolina Panthers will have a division matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend. The Buccaneers coming off that huge win over the 49ers, 27-9, but I think the Panthers are going to win and win big on the road. I don't like that half-point hook right there, 3.5. It would be better if we were at 3, but I like the Panthers Panthers to win this game by a touchdown regardless. Christian McCaffrey absolutely ran wild on the Seahawks last week. I think he's going to do the same against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Even if they do get Lavonte David back, probably their best linebacker, I still think that's not enough to slow down this Carolina Panthers offense. We talked about Funches last week with the back injuries. He might still be out, but who cares when you got DJ Moore going off? Who cares when you get Greg Olsen finding the end zone? Christian McCaffrey is doing it, getting 100 yards rushing, 100 yards receiving. I think this offense is just too hot right now. Even though they've lost two games, we can still talk about how hot this offense is. It's going to be this Carolina Panthers defense that needs to step up. Luke Kuechly has been playing decent, but he hasn't been playing at that MVP level that we all know Luke Kuechly to be at, and that's what the Carolina Panthers need from Luke Kuechly, because honestly, their DBs are letting up too many points. He can't do it all himself, but he's going to have to try to slow down Jameis Winston this week. We talked about how potent this Jameis Winston offense is, and then we talked about how bad it is. So we never know what you're going to get with Jameis Winston. You can never bet on Jameis Winston. So for that reason alone, I'm taking the Carolina Panthers to get back on track. They need a win this week, and I think they get it this weekend, taking out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Hey, if there's a time to push in all your chips, you got to do it now. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm putting all my chips in on the Panthers as well, because I don't trust the Buccaneers to do this fucking win. I don't trust the Buccaneers to get this win. I trust the Panthers way more, especially with what they did against the Seahawks defense with Christian McCaffrey. My God, that guy was a fucking wild man. I can see DJ Moore, Cam Newton, Christian McCaffrey, and even if Funches plays, I can see his catchless piece of shit ass even getting a touchdown. That's four or five touchdowns right there. And the Bucs, all they got to do is just throw it to Mike Evans. He'll get a touchdown, maybe two. Their running game is still questionable. What else is new? Peyton Barber seems to be the featured back, but he's not doing enough to help this team win. Lavonte David coming back, that could be a huge thing. That could actually slow down Christian McCaffrey, but I don't think he's going to slow him down enough to get the fucking over, because I think that this is going to clear 55. I think that the Panthers can put up a 40 and the Bucs can put up a good 30. I mean, the Panthers can fucking beat them 21-0 in the first half, and then out of nowhere, the Bucs can be a second half team like they have been and just be fucking down by six for all we know. And next thing you know, look at that. Now we're at a fucking 21-21 game. That means the Panthers would probably have to score a couple of touchdowns because it would be a close game. So, therefore, the 55 is going to clear, and the Panthers by 3.5, it scares me because of the hook. But like I said, I'm putting in all my chips. I'm going to go with the Panthers. The Panthers have been letting us down a few times this season, but I don't see them letting us down this week against the Bucs, because Jameis Winston or Fitzpatrick, for some reason, they just don't know how to close out games.
No, the Buccaneers haven't been able to close out games at all this year, but hey, the Panthers have also struggled to close out games this year, but I don't think they're going to have to try to close out a game this week against the Buccaneers, because I think they're going to win big. I think they're going to win by a touchdown. Don't be afraid of that half-point hook, because the Carolina Panthers are 5-0 against the spread in games played at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers since the start of the 2013 season, so they play well. It's not that big of a travel distance between North Carolina to Florida, obviously, so I like the Carolina Panthers this week, definitely locking in the Panthers by 3.5 and to hit the over of over 55.5.
Woo!
Moving on to our next matchup of the week, we got the Arizona Cardinals taking on the Green Bay Packers in our biggest spread of the week. I mean, we talked about the Chiefs over the Raiders, we talked about the Rams. Well, now we got our third double-digit point spread of the week, and it's for a team with a losing record, to say the least. I mean, the Green Bay Packers now sitting with a 4-6-1 record after losing on Sunday Night Football to the Vikings 24-17. And man, oh man, this is a lot of points for a team that really has been disappointing this year. I mean, I know Aaron Rodgers has been killing teams that are terrible. His stats are not that great against winning teams this year. But 14 points, I mean, I like the Packers to win this game. They definitely need to win if they want any chance of trying to creep back into the playoff picture at all. But I don't know if they're going to win by 14 points. That's where we start getting to this area where we've seen the Cardinals cover the 17 points against the Chiefs, but then they get blown out against the Chargers, 45-10. Where, let me say, if you were listening to our podcast last week, we told you to take the Cardinals plus the points, and we looked like geniuses for about a first half of football when the Cardinals were beating the Chargers 10-0, and then they let up 45 unanswered fucking points and lose our bet. So thanks a lot, Cardinals. I don't think I can even bet on you this week with confidence, but I might have to with the 14 points, but it might just be what last week. If I'm giving any advice on this game, take the money line, take the Packers on the money line. Hell, maybe take a teaser. If you get the Packers winning by just a touchdown, I think that's a great bet there too. I don't think the Packers are going to cover this 14 point spread, to be honest, Al, but I'm definitely feel free to lock in Aaron Rodgers on the money line this week.
Yeah, this is definitely a money line game. This is a lock. This is a lock money line game, but that 14, no. Okay, we've been taking Aaron Rodgers all season, and you know he's done us some wonders, but he's also been doing us some fucking disasters. Aaron Rodgers, let's just say that he's not the same Aaron Rodgers as we've seen. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if his gay mustache isn't thick enough. I don't know if his receivers aren't feeling him anymore. Who knows? It might be a fucking gay thing. He might just be having some issues being gay. But, I mean, all jokes aside, Aaron Rodgers clearly has not been Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what the fuck I seen last week, but it wasn't good. I mean, I took the Vikings, but I thought he would keep the game, you know, somewhat close. But, you know, 14, no. I think the Cardinals fucking cover this, even though they fucked us last week. But it's the Chargers, okay? I feel like the Chargers are hotter than the Packers this season. The Packers aren't who they were this season. And, yeah, money line. Let's just go with that fucking money line.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Chargers did come back full-fledged after losing to the Broncos. Seems like they wanted to prove a message and put up points and tell the rest of the league that they're still not messing around and still looking for a playoff spot. The Packers, like I said, barely playing for a playoff spot. So how motivational are they going to be to try to win this game by more than 14 points, especially with Jimmy Graham dealing with that broken thumb? He came in and literally only caught passes on the last drive of the game last week against the Vikings, so he was pretty much a non-factor. It's going to be interesting how this game plays out. Like I said, 14 points is a lot, but the Arizona Cardinals are 8-1 against the spread when coming off back-to-back losses since the start of last season. So, hey, the Cardinals, if they get blown out once, they usually don't get blown out in back-to-back games. They've been keeping games close. Maybe Chandler Jones can get in the backfield and slow down Aaron Rodgers, but yeah, I'm definitely with Al. This is definitely a money line lock of the week for the Packers.
What the fuck happened to Jimmy Graham this season, man? Like, what happened? This guy, I thought he was going to help Aaron Rodgers so much, but it seems to me that Aaron Rodgers is still in the same position of not having a tight end. The only people he really has is that Aaron Jones running back, who's been actually proving himself worthy, and they got Davante Adams, who of course is going to fucking have a game every game. But if he doesn't have him at 100%, then, I mean, what can Aaron Rodgers honestly do to be in his full potential as he was before? This team is just too banged up, and this 14 points is actually going to prove me right.
I would say it's not so much he can't find a tight end, or he can't find this, or he can't find that. I think he can't find a coach, to be honest, because Mike McCarthy has been there for how long now with the Packers? They've only won once, right? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, where has he been? He's had this MVP-type season. I mean, we're over here saying this is not the same Aaron Rodgers. He's still, what, thrown 19 touchdowns to one interception?
Oh, yeah.
So the guy is still playing amazing. Like I said, his stats versus teams with a winning record have not been great. But, I mean, how much better do you want this guy to play? Mike McCarthy, I think that's time to go. But like I said with the Reuben Foster fucking Rolando McClain comparison, I could do a whole podcast saying Aaron Rodgers and the coaching staff and what's going on and how you're not taking advantage of this guy in his prime. But that's a whole other story for another day. For this podcast, just make sure you're locking in Aaron Rodgers on the money line this week. 14 points is no bueno. So we're going to keep on going ahead and moving on to the next game because we want no part of that 14-point spread. But this is a matchup where we got coming up next, the Chicago Bears taking on the New York Giants. The Giants lost to the Eagles last week, 25-23, but they were able to cover the spread just like we said they would right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast, while the Chicago Bears got a huge victory against the Lions, 23-16 on Thanksgiving Day with Chase Daniels at the helm. Yes, Trubisky was out last week, and Trubisky might be out again this week, has not been practicing, so we might get a double dosage of Chase Daniels. And regardless of who's playing quarterback for the Chicago Bears this week, I think they covered that 4.5 spread just with Khalil Mack, with Eddie Jackson, with Danny Trevathan, with his defense and the rookie Roquan Smith. I mean, they've just been playing phenomenal this year. And the Giants offense, yeah, they got a couple pieces in Saquon Barkley. They got Odell Beckham, obviously. But Eli Manning is just going to go Eli Manning. And this offensive line has not done a great job of protecting Eli Manning this week. So I think Eli is going to get beat up, especially like I said with Khalil Mack on the outside. I think he has a big day. I like the Bears to win this game and win by a touchdown. But the under to hit of 45 points, I think this is going to be a defensive showing for the Chicago Bears, and I think they get the victory this week even without Mitchell Trubisky out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said last week and the week before, the Bears defense is what the Jaguars defense was last year. This defense is just too fucking good this year, and Eli Manning just might actually show his true colors. You know, we've been saying, or I've been saying that Eli Manning has been doing what he can to win the last few games. I'll give him his little respect, but that probably is going to end this week. And with Evan Ingram didn't even participate. That's just another advantage that he doesn't have, another weapon he doesn't have. And you also got B.J. Goodson, Grant Haley, Curtis Riley, and Kerry Wynn. They're all limited. So that's practically their whole fucking defense to me. And if Trubisky plays, I like the over. If he doesn't play, I like the under, which is 44.5. I like the under. Like I said, I like the under. Trubisky doesn't play, and I like the over if he does play. Because you know what? Trubisky, he could be the truth for the fucking Bears. He might actually be better than Jay Cutler for the Bears. He's showing that he can throw to anyone on his team. He's got Allen Robinson. He's got Anthony Miller. He's got Burton. That guy, you know, he throws one fucking pass to the Super Bowl to Nick Foles, and all of a sudden he's a great tight end. But you know what? The guy is a good tight end. And I just don't see the Giants, especially at home, I don't see the Giants covering. That 4.5 does kind of scare me. But it's because of the Bears' defense, I think, that this could happen. The Bears' defense can probably get 2 touchdowns just by from them. So that's fucking fine with me, Mark.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine with me. I definitely think the Chicago Bears are going to cover this 4.5-point spread. And the New York Giants are only 3-7 against the spread as a home underdog since the start of the last season. So, I mean, they're expected to lose at home a lot. I expect them to lose this weekend again against the Bears. So I'm definitely locking in the Bears minus 4.5 points this week. And then let's go ahead and move on to another interesting matchup of the week. We got the Cleveland Browns going into Houston to take on the Texans, where both teams won you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast last week. We picked the Texans over the Titans, and we took the Browns for an upset special against the Bengals last week. The Browns absolutely covered, winning 35-20. They were an underdog, and we said, hey, this is the upset. What'd I say? It wasn't just Thanksgiving leftover. I was smelling an upset win for Nick Chubb and Baker Mayfield, and that's exactly what they did. And honestly, they might have another chance this weekend. I know the Houston Texans are one of the hottest teams in football right now. They're on a big win streak, got the big win on Monday Night Football over the Titans, 34-17, but by 6 points. I don't really like the Texans to win this game big. I think it's going to be closer than that. I think Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb are able to keep it close, so I might have to take the Browns plus the points. Hell, they could win this game on an upset because the Browns, sitting with a 4-6-1 record, they're technically in the hunt for the playoffs. I mean, as crazy as it is to seem, I've been on the Browns all year, so why not stick with them here? I'm going to take the Browns plus the points. I could see the Texans winning this game on the money line, but I just don't see them covering that 6 points, Al.
Yeah, Texans by six. That's not going to happen, okay? So we've seen what the Titans did to the Texans in the beginning of the game. Of course, the Texans, they made adjustments, and they stopped that. Well, the Titans' offense isn't the Browns' offense. I can't even believe I'm talking about this, but the Browns' offense is looking so much better than I've seen in my life of fucking watching football. I think whoever has a Browns quarterback jersey who has all the lists down of every name that fucking went down that jersey, I think they need to stop at Baker, because I think Baker is the truth for the Cleveland Browns. This guy can practically do it all. I've seen him run. I've seen him throw on the run. And I've seen him fucking be accurate when he throws on the run. And they got Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, oh my God. Did the Browns finally find a running back that can do as much damage since fucking Peyton Hillis? And who was that before Peyton Hillis? Jim Brown? Like, the Browns finally fucking coming up. And I don't like it. My fucking division is starting to get strong. I don't like it. This is bullshit. But for this week against the Texans could win. I'd say that the Texans do win, but I don't think they win by six. They could win by three. Fine with me. Because the Browns defense is also getting better. Myles Garrett is looking fucking nice. He's like a top 10 player under 25. I saw some stat like that. The guy gets into the pocket and just shuts quarterbacks down. I've seen it. He did it to Roethlisberger like 2 or 3 times. We all know Deshaun Watson can use those legs. But, I mean, shit, with this Browns defense looking the way they are, I can see them winning, but I could also see them losing by three. So, therefore, we are taking the Browns 47.5, Mark. I'm taking the over on that one.
Yeah, I like the over on that one. I think the Browns can score points. I think the Texans can score points. I think these both teams can score points, so I think it will be a shootout back and forth, and I'm right there with you. I think the Texans can win, but I don't think they can cover their spread, and the Houston Texans are 1-8 against the spread in December games since the start of the 2016 season, so, hey, as the year goes on, they've kind of fell apart. Obviously, last year, Deshaun Watson was hurt in December, so that's a huge reason why they're losing games. But I just don't think they're going to win this game by more than a touchdown, so I'm going to have to take the Browns plus the points this week, Al.
Yep, let's go. Let's go.
And then let's keep it moving now and move on to our next matchup of the week, where we got the Denver Broncos going into Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. The Bengals, as we just got done talking about, lost to the Browns last week, 35-20, while the Denver Broncos probably had the surprise victory of the week. Alan, I know you're probably going to get into this, when they beat the Steelers 24-17. I mean, who are these damn Denver Broncos with Case Keenum to go and beat Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers? Or honestly, it looked like the Steelers beat themselves more
with Ben Roethlisberger throwing that terrible interception to end the game, I didn't know what I was seeing, but the Broncos would try to keep that same strategy this weekend against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals, we've been talking about it all season long now. They are not a team that is representative of their record up until now because they finally have a losing record. Yes, they're now sitting at 5-6 after starting the year, 5-2? They've been on a straight losing streak, and Andy Dalton is now done for the season. Now we got who? Jeff Driscoll? Yes, Jeff Driscoll will be under center, and now you've got Hugh Jackson and Marvin Lewis on the sideline. I mean, this is an ingredients for a disaster. Jeff Driscoll did, though, come back almost last week against the Browns, put up some points, so maybe he can do something against his Broncos defense because they will be getting A.J. Green back. I mean, that's their best player, but will be enough to cover this five-point spread by the Broncos. The Broncos are a team where they've been a great underdog team to bet on this season, but as a favorite, they have not been one of the great teams to cover. This is honestly a game that is up in the air, a five-point spread. I don't think this game's going to be decided by more than 5 points unless this Broncos defense really just steps up and shuts down Jeff Driscoll in this offense. I mean, Al, I don't want anything to do with this game. Tell me, what are your thoughts about this Denver Broncos team coming off back-to-back wins over the Chargers and the Steelers? Is this Denver Broncos team for real, Al?
Okay, well, beating us, it hurts. It really did hurt because, again, what Marcus said, we did beat ourselves. But I'll get into that when it comes to the Steelers. But when it comes to the Broncos, despite how they won, they won. And with that being said, their motivation is even higher. They're getting even more hungrier. And they're probably going to be even more hungrier playing against this fucking brutally shut down Bengals. I mean, again, Driscoll's playing. Sure, AJ Green's coming back, so who knows if that's even going to matter. But who cares? Because I do think the Broncos are pretty hot right now. I mean, they're probably not playoff hot. Again, like my fucking dad said, it's Case Keenum. Case fucking Keenum, the man who throws fucking balls that look like punts, and he still gets the ball there because I don't know yet if it was our defense that looks like shit, or Keenum just knows how to fucking be a professional fucking punt thrower. With that being said, what did I say about the Broncos defense last week? I said, yes, they're going to put pressure on the fucking line, but their DBs are fucking questionable. Look at the results. James Conner only had 53 yards for 13 attempts. Juju had 13 receptions for 189 yards. So, I mean, yeah, I guess we can say that as far as the over, I could see the over happening, 44 points because of A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, and Joe Mixon going to be catching balls all over the place. But it's also depending if Driscoll can get it done. I don't think he gets it done because the Denver Broncos defense is probably going to shut him down. They'll probably get garbage points like they did last week against the Browns. But yeah, I do believe the Broncos could win this by 5. If it was 5.5, I'd probably be scared and take the fucking Bengals. But because it's 5, that's a whole difference for me. And I think that it's enough to get this victory for the Denver Broncos as a visitor, Mark.
Yeah, I think the Denver Broncos get the W this weekend. Like I said, though, I like betting on this team more as an underdog than I do as a favorite. I'm definitely going to take the Denver Broncos on the money line. But something's telling me to take Cincinnati in the points now. I know I've been dogging on Cincinnati all year, but they do have all these offensive weapons. The biggest question mark, though, is just that Jeff Driscoll is playing quarterback. I mean, this is a game I'll probably stay away from. Honestly, I'm taking the Broncos on the money line. I'm thinking about taking the Bengals on the points. But Cincinnati is 0-6 against the spread since the start of last season when facing teams that allow an average of at least 6 per yards per play. So I just don't see this happening. Man, this is an ugly game, but I think the Denver Broncos, at the end of the day, they stay hot and get the victory over a Bengals team that is just going down, 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 doing downright terrible lately. So, I mean, you can't get any worse than them, but let's go ahead and talk about a team that could be doing worse than them. That's the New York Jets. They'll go ahead and take on the Tennessee Titans this week, but for as bad as they've been doing, at least maybe they got some good news now because they're done dealing with Josh McCown after losing to the Patriots last week, 27-13. We told you the Patriots are going to win big, and that's exactly what they did, covering that 2-touchdown spread. Now the Jets, though, they're going to get Sam Darnold back. He's been practicing this week. This could be a pick-me-up for this offense. And then on the flip side, Tennessee Titans, Marcus Mariota still banged up with that elbow injury. We saw him leave the game on Monday Night Football after losing to the Texans 34-17. I mean, goddamn, what have I been telling you all year long with the Tennessee Titans? If they're the favorite, and especially a big favorite, they're probably not going to cover. They're favored by 8.5 points this game, so if Vegas thinks they're going to win, I probably think they're going to lose. And even if they don't lose, I don't see them covering this 8.5-point spread. The Titans have been one of the most ridiculous teams to bet on all season long. They've been keeping games close. The Jets, not keeping games close against the Patriots, but I mean, on the road, maybe they got a chance to slow down this Tennessee Titans offense. I don't know, Al. I mean, these spreads are ridiculous. I don't think the Tennessee Titans are going to blow anybody out by more than a touchdown. So I might be betting more on the points here than the actual team. I might just have to go with the Jets plus 8.5 points, Al.
Yeah, I'm going with the Jets 8.5 as well. As much as the Jets have been letting us down, this is one week that we got to hope that they don't let us down. Because 8.5, not only is it 8 and the Titans are not even good enough to even win by 8, but it's 8.5. Again, we say this all the time. The fucking hooks is just crucial. It kills a lot of parlays, and it also makes a lot of parlays. And right now, if you bet on the Jets, this is going to make a good parlay because the Jets' defense, they're inconsistent. But Marcus Mariota has been just looking more than inconsistent. He's been looking pure trash. Derrick Henry has been a true letdown of every fantasy owner. I don't think that's enough to get past this Jets defense to even win by 8. I could see them winning, but this is not going to be a win by 8.5 or 8 or, you know, not even by 7. This will probably be a fucking win by 2 field goals. That's what I can honestly see. I see this being another Bills-Dolphins game, a whole defensive game. This could be a low-scoring game because I also think the under is going to happen. 40.5, I truly think this game is only going to go to 30 points total. Shoot me in the fucking foot if I'm wrong. I don't care. Go with it, Mark.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Al. I definitely don't think the Tennessee Titans can win a game with a spread this big. 8.5 points is a lot, and the numbers are right there with this. They say that the Tennessee Titans are 2-5 against the spread as a favorite of 7 or more points since the start of the 2010 season. And on the other side, the Jets have gone 7-3 straight up and 8-2 against the spread over the past 10 games against the Tennessee Titans. So, hey, the New York Jets, they stay on the East Coast, don't got to travel coast to coast. We'll go down to Tennessee, and we like them to get the job done to at least cover the spread of plus 8.5 points. If you're looking for a money line bet, yeah, the Titans could win this game, but it's not going to happen by 8.5 points. And I'm right there with you, Al. I think this is definitely a game where it's under 40.5. I say it all the time. This might truly be a game where it's going to be the first team to 21 points. If anybody even scores 21 points, because I'm looking for the Jets to shut down this Tennessee Titans offense. Yeah, the disappointment Al's been talking about. I think all things are looking up for the Jets to cover the spread this week, getting Sam Darnold back. Yeah, let's go ahead and take the Jets plus 8.5. And then moving on to our next matchup, we got the Minnesota Vikings taking on the New England Patriots. The Patriots are favored by 5.5 points this week after, like we just said, beating the Jets 27-13 to cover the spread and win you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast, baby. And the New England Patriots, they got more than wins to play for. They got a chance to now go up and tie up for home field advantage with the Chiefs losing to the Rams. It opens a huge door. They're back at home, and we said it last week on the podcast. They're getting better than ever with Gronk coming back, coming off that bye, Sony Michel coming back. He had a huge game last weekend. Tom Brady is dealing with some type of knee injury, but Tom Brady's going to play. It's as simple as that, and as long as he's on the field, as long as Belichick's coaching, you know they got a chance to win. So I definitely think they got a chance to win by 5.5 points against the Vikings, who did get a huge win against the Packers 24-17 on Sunday Night Football, but they are dealing with a plethora of injuries. We talked about Andrew Sandejo last week. He's been moved to the IR. Now we got Xavier Rhodes, their shutdown corner. He's dealing with a hamstring. I mean, he looked like he got shot last week when he just fell to the ground. And then you got on the offensive side of the ball, you got Stephon Diggs dealing with a knee injury, Thielen playing with a calf injury. They'll probably suit up and still play because they're going to need all their weapons this week to try to take out the New England Patriots at home. But like I said, the Patriots are playing for home field advantage. I think just all signs are pointing up for the Patriots. I think if as long as it's not a touchdown spread, I'm not afraid to take the Patriots. I'll go ahead and lock in the Patriots by 5.5 points this week, Al.
This is probably the hardest pick for me. I mean, you do speak a lot of the injuries on the Viking side, and I don't blame you. I mean, Diggs did not participate. That's a huge one, is my opinion. Rhodes, that is one of the biggest fucking letdowns as far as not playing, because clearly that's your best defensive back. Even Sandejo being on the IR, I mean, I've said that already. That can hurt the Vikings' chances. And this is a Patriots team, I get it. But I just think Tom Brady is not himself. I mean, he threw for 283 yards with 2 TDs. But, I mean, against this Jets, I thought I would see more than that. I thought I would see a 400-yard game with, like, 4-plus TDs. You know, it's a hard one because 5.5, that's even hard for me. I mean, I believe the Patriots can win this game. I don't think the Vikings defense is going to be that hurt despite not having Rhodes and Sandejo as their defensive backcourt. But they still got Kendrick. They still got Barr. Hunter can go in and just shut Brady down even with a fucked up knee and Griffin on the other side. I see that happening. I see them fucking winning by three, the Patriots I'm talking about. I don't see this 5.5 being in the Patriots' favor despite who they got back, despite Josh Gordon's expanded role weekly. I think the Vikings can hold on enough to even lose by three, and that's on what I'm going to stick to, Mark.
Hey, that's not a bad bet. With the Vikings plus the points, his defense, you make a good point. The defense has been playing well despite dealing with injuries all year long. We saw what they were able to do to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers on Sunday Night Football. Well, this is Tom Brady and the Patriots. They're absolutely hot right now, and the Patriots are 13-3 against the spread since the start of the 2016 season against teams that average at least 235 passing yards per game. So Kirk Cousins, you know, he's going to be passing a lot. I think there's going to be a lot of points in this game. I think even if Diggs and Thielen do participate, they're still going to be factors. They're still going to find a way to get into the end zone. They really got to get Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray in this run game going, to be honest. They want to score any points, though. But I think this might be a high-scoring game back and forth. I like the over of 48.5 points. But at the end of the day, I think the Patriots are just on that separate elite level where the Vikings have tried to get to in the past couple years. But obviously the Patriots, with all their experience, with Tom Brady, with all these players, I mean, the Minnesota Vikings have yet to beat an opponent this season that currently has a winning record. That's not going to do good things when you go into Foxborough to take on Tom Brady with an 8-3 record, who obviously has that AFC East locked up every single year. I think this is just going to be too big of a test for this Minnesota Vikings team. So at the end of the day, I got to stick with Tom Brady and the points minus 5.5.
Yes, I do agree with you on the over. I am taking the over because, yeah, despite not having Diggs and despite possibly not having Thielen, you still got Dalvin Cook catching screens and just bursting his way through. And I can see a fucking tight end shootout. Watch out for that. Gronk going out with two TDs. Rudolph with two TDs. Don't fucking let that fucking go by your head. I can see that happening. And then right there is already fucking, what, 28 points with four TDs? That alone is already going to help your chances on getting this over. And I think that this is going to be an over that's going to count because of these tight ends. So watch out for that. Watch for Big Al to get that prediction going.
Hey, look for the tight ends to get into the end zone. Look for Sonny Michel to have another big day for the Patriots, especially if they get up early. They get Sonny Michel running. Once they get that game script going in the favor of the Patriots, it seems like that's the recipe for success, and that's how they've been winning all the games this year. But if the Vikings can get up quick, there should be a shootout, so that's good for the over. Now let's move on to another game that's probably my favorite over pick of the week. That's the Sunday night shootout between the LA Chargers and the Pittsburgh Steelers, where the Steelers, like I said, coming off a disappointing loss last week, Alan, after throwing the game away. Literally, Big Ben threw the game away. I thought we learned a lesson. Run the ball on the one-yard line. It doesn't matter if it's Beast Mode or James Conner, who they used to call Baby Beast Mode in college at Pittsburgh. I mean, give the ball to the running back. Hell, let Big Ben sneak it in there. He's 6'5", 6'6", whatever. Put your hand over the goal line. It's a touchdown. But, I mean, Alan, I feel like I'm starting to rant more than you. They should have won this game against the Broncos, but they didn't. Now they got to come back and play another AFC West opponent who lost to the Broncos the week before. Came back, had a huge win against the Cardinals, 45-10. I think this is going to be a shootout. I like the over of 51.5, but I'm going to go ahead and let you take it from here, Al. What are your thoughts about this Sunday night matchup between the LA Chargers and your Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, for one thing, I can't believe that this game is 51.5. I thought that they would count this game for like 56 or 55. This is definitely going to be a shootout. I mean, what I've seen Case Keenum do to us, what makes y'all think that Phillip Rivers ain't going to do the same thing? Manuel Sanders had a game against us. What makes you think Keenan Allen ain't going to do the same thing? Melvin Gordon may not play. I don't think he is playing, actually, as far as I saw.
Melvin Gordon is out.
He is out. That could actually help our chances, but watch out for that fucking guy, Eckler, however you say his name. That guy could also run hard. I mean, it looked like to me that they were splitting carries. Now, with the Steelers, God, man, that hurt, guys. It really hurt. Roethlisberger, that was probably the dumbest decision I've ever seen you do all your fucking lifetime of playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, for one, you didn't even throw it to Antonio Brown. And two, why would you throw it in the first place? Let James Conner run the ball. I mean, yeah, he had 53 rush yards, but God damn it, he fucking ran for those hard. He worked for those yards. So you got to let him fucking work in the end zone. He could have gave us a tie game. This Denver defense was everything I thought they were going to be. Their DBs did not fucking stop anybody. Antonio Brown, sure, he was got double cover. But you know what? They left Juju open for fucking 189 yards with 13 receptions. And speaking of the wide receiver little drama, Ben Roethlisberger allegedly going in on his wide receivers, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? Let me give you guys a little advice, and let me ask you a question. What ever happened to leadership? Explain to me why a quarterback can't criticize his players. As a quarterback, he's always been known as the team captain. If he doesn't like something, if he thinks that there's something wrong, he should address it and let them know. And that's exactly what he's doing. And look what social media does. Look at all these fucking internet bloggers and articles do. They're fucking trying to cause drama, thinking that he's criticizing the receivers. If they're not doing their job, then he has every right. He has earned that right with 2 Super Bowl rings, constant playoff games. This guy has earned the right as a team captain to say what he wants to say. Even if it's about himself, like he said, if he has to criticize himself, he'll do it. So let him fucking say what he has to say to our receivers. If they're not doing their job, aka James fucking Washington, who decided, oh, I'm gonna have a dramatic ass dive when he catches the ball after he dives, it was the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen. So yeah, when I see shit like that, Roethlisberger deserves to say what he wants. So with that being said, I hope all that criticism put into their fucking heads, because this isn't the Denver's defense. This is a Chargers defense where I think their DBs are probably better than the Broncos. They also have pass pressures, so Roethlisberger can get sacked a couple times. I see that. But I do see us winning this game, especially by 3.5. It's despite it being the hook. These are my boys. I'm going to stick by them. I see Juju having another big game. Hopefully Antonio Brown can do better on his route running, because he was also criticized for that. But you know what? He's a cool guy, because I don't hear him talking any type of shit. He said, I'm not taking it personal. I'm not bothered. If my route running isn't good enough, then I'm just going to fucking do better, which a fucking real player would do. If he's not doing his job, he needs to make an adjustment, and I think that's what they're going to do, because this Chargers defense is going to be harder than the Broncos defense. I see James Conner bouncing back. Roethlisberger is going to bounce back. This is going to be a super win for us, because I hate the Chargers, and I went to their game last time we played them, and that, Marcus, you know we fucking went through a whole lot with that game.
Michael Vick, baby!
Woo, Michael Vick! Shout out to Michael Vick, but now we got Roethlisberger. This is going to be a different team, different fucking setting. We're at home, so take the Steelers 3.5 and definitely take the over. Oh, Marcus, I think my rant is done.
Hey, I think you summed it up perfectly. You threw on there a little bit about the Chargers defense. I think that's going to be huge, because, in my opinion, it was the turnovers that really cost the Pittsburgh Steelers the game last week. And we obviously saw the biggest turnover with Ben Roethlisberger throwing interceptions at the end of the game.
Or James Conner's fumble.
They're not going to be able to get away with that this weekend against this defense that has been playing under the radar. But honestly, like you said, with the Broncos, they're right up there with talent. With Joey Bosa back now on the defense side of the ball, he came back and what? Had 2 sacks his first game. Derwin James is playing phenomenal as a rookie. I mean, this defense can create turnovers, and that's one thing the Steelers can't do, but that's one thing that the Steelers have actually corrected under Mike Tomlin, because Pittsburgh Steelers are actually 7-3 against the spread under Mike Tomlin when coming off a game with a turnover margin of worse than -3, so it seems like they usually go back and look what went wrong and look for ways to try to correct it, and they're going to need to try to correct it this weekend against the Chargers, because the Chargers are great. They've been up there with the top teams, elite teams. I've said it all season long. The only 2 teams they lost to were the Chiefs and the Rams before they ran into the Broncos, but if we look more in depth into the numbers, all but 1 of LA's 6 against the spread wins in 2018 have come against teams on pace to end the season with 6 or fewer wins. Yes, all the games that they have covered this year against the spread have been against losing teams. Well, guess what? The Pittsburgh Steelers are not a losing team, so that hook might scare you a little bit, but I think the Steelers ultimately get the job done, beating the Chargers this weekend by 3.5 points out.
And please, people, do not let this under scare you. Despite the under being 9-0 in games against the LA Chargers that we played against them in December since 2016, do not let that scare you, because, again, these 2 teams are different teams compared to 2016. Both these teams have offensive weapons. Our defense still isn't good enough to be holding them down to fucking 20 or less points, because I for sure see Rivers scoring over 20 points. I mean, don't let it scare you. Please take it from me as a Steeler fan. This is going to be a shootout. I know our defense. We cannot hold people for fucking third down conversions worth of shit. They always fucking let up. Get a deep pass. Get a screen pass. Whatever it is, it's going to fucking happen. It's going to be a shootout. Steelers, take the win and take the over.
And it's in Sunday night prime time. You know,
oh my God, yeah.
You know Big Ben, AB, they're going to show out. You know the Steelers are going to show
up. I forgot about prime time. You can't forget about prime time. Sure, we saw fucking Saints and Cowboys do terrible last night.
Nah, that's Thursday night football.
That's Thursday night football. Fuck that. But this is a Sunday night prime time. They have got to show out. Both teams are going to show out, but we're going to overcome that fucking win. That's us, baby.
Yep, look for the Steelers to show out on Sunday night football. And then let's get into our next prime time game of the week to wrap up this podcast. It's the Monday night night game between the Washington Redskins and the Philadelphia Eagles, with teams sitting with a 6-5 record versus a 5-6 record. And it's for playoff implications, Al. Yes, because the NFC East is that fucking bad this year. The Philadelphia Eagles, for as bad as they've been this whole entire year, they won last week against the Giants 25-22. We told you they weren't going to cover the spread, so surprise, surprise, they didn't cover the spread. And what do you know? The Washington Redskins, without Alex Smith, they still got a chance, even losing against the Cowboys last week, to beat the Eagles and win this division. But if the Eagles win, they got a chance to go into Dallas next week and play for first place for the NFC East. I mean, this division is still wide open regardless of what's going on for the Redskins without a quarterback and what's going on for the Philadelphia Eagles without a defensive backfield. But at least they might get Jalen Mills back this week. They could get a couple corners back. They've been in and out of practice all week long. So who knows what's going to happen. But this is another matchup where the Eagles are favored by 6.5. What, they were favored by 7.5 last week against the Giants, and we told you to take the points. This is probably just going to be a repeat of last week's podcast because it's another division matchup in the NFC East, and it's another game where I ultimately see it being decided by a field goal. I don't think either of these teams can win the game by more than a touchdown, so why not take the Redskins plus the points? Colt McCoy honestly didn't look terrible against the Cowboys. He came up and played decent. I just don't have faith in the Eagles being able to cover the spread. Yeah, they might win the game, so if you want to take them on the money line, go right ahead. But I don't see them covering the 6.5-point spread. I mean, shit, the Philadelphia Eagles are 0-11 against the spread under Doug Peterson when facing a team that allows 6 or more yards per play. I think the Washington Redskins are just going to be too much on offense and on defense for the Philadelphia Eagles to run away with this game. But it's the NFC East, so who fucking knows at that point? But when it comes down to it, protect yourself with the points in this division matchup. I don't see either team winning by a touchdown, so I'm going to go ahead and take the Washington Redskins. AP is banged up a little bit with a shoulder injury, but he should be playing, and so should Chris Thompson. And they're getting another running back to the backfield, and Crowder is coming back too. That's another wide receiver, so they are getting some pieces back to this offense. I think the Washington Redskins are going to keep this game closer than a lot of people think, certainly closer than Vegas thinks. I don't see the Eagles winning this game by that 6.5-point spread, Al.
Yeah, that's the way we're going to do it right here, folks. We're going to end this podcast with agreeing, baby. That's the way I like it because, yeah, the Eagles, you can't trust them with this banged-up-ass defense. I mean, Michael Bennett, Jordan Hicks, Avante Maddox, and Jalen Mills did not participate. Jason Peters also didn't participate, but that's not a defensive matter. But the fact that they're not participating, I mean, I don't know if it's them just playing games like Belichick or if that's actual news, but I mean, still, you can't fucking trust the Eagles to cover. They can't cover worth a shit this season. We told you to take the Giants, and what do you know? The Giants cover for us, and that's the way we're going to do with the Redskins. We're going to take the Redskins at 6.5 because, yeah, Adrian Peterson, he's always banged up. I mean, I have him on fantasy. Marcus, you have him on fantasy. We see it every fucking time.
Yep.
Oh, shoulder, did not practice, limited in practice. And what does he do? He always plays. But he has tremendously slowed down since his top five ranking a few weeks ago. I mean, and Colt McCoy, yeah, he didn't look too bad against the Cowboys, but I mean, I still don't trust him to get the win. But yeah, we're gonna trust that the Eagles win by 3, not 6.5.
Yeah, exactly. We're betting more on the point spread here than we are exactly on the teams. Like we said, if you want to bet on a money line bet, go ahead and take the Eagles. If you're throwing them parlay together with all money line teams, take the Eagles. They should win this game with Carson Wentz at quarterback versus Colt McCoy. But will they win this game by 6.5? I just don't see it happening. And the Eagles have failed to cover 5 straight home games in which they have been favored by at least 4 points. They haven't covered a 4-point spread at home in 5 straight games. Makes no sense for him to start this week, as bad as they've been playing all year long. So I definitely don't see him winning by 6.5 against the Redskins.
Also, the 44, and I'm going to go with it, and I'm going to say it. It's going to be under. I'm taking the under because I don't like that the fact that the Redskins' defense is not as hurt as the Eagles' defense. I mean, Zach Brown didn't participate, but I think he's still going to play. I feel like this Redskins' defense is still going to hold Wentz to a certain amount of points. I just don't think the Redskins are even going to score that much. You know, Colt McCoy, you can't trust him enough. This 44.5 is just kind of scary to me. I'm going to stay away from it. I'm going to say under. But, I mean, again, it's a divisional game, so I don't know. I would stay away from the over-under, but if you want my opinion, I'm taking the under.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'd probably just stay away from his over-under. It's kind of in that middle area of 44 points. The numbers do say that the over is 4-0 in games that Philadelphia has played at home since against Washington since the start of the 2014 season. But that wasn't with Colt McCoy and AP in the backfield. That wasn't with Carson Wentz playing quarterback. These are two completely different teams. So, like I said, I'm right there with you, Al. I'm probably just staying away from this over-under, but we both agree that the Eagles will not win this game by more than 6.5 points this week against the Washington Redskins on Monday Night Football, and that is every single game from Week 13 of the 2018 season. I know it was a long one, folks, probably our longest podcast of the year, but hey, there's no more bye weeks, so we had to give you that full Sunday slate, give you that Monday Night Delight, give you that Sunday Night Showdown between the Steelers and the Chargers, while still giving you the full Bay Area coverage of the Raiders versus the Chiefs and the 49ers versus the Seahawks. I mean, we got it all for you right here on the Bay's Golden Days, baby. So thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading and subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. Wherever you can find a podcast, you can find the Bay's Golden Days podcast. We are on Instagram, Twitter, social media, at Bay's Golden Days. You guys know the spiel by now. We'll be back every single week to give you our picks, give you our best bets, locks of the weeks, upsets. Everything you need will always be right here on the Straight Cash Podcast on the Bay's Golden Days, baby. We'll see you next week. Until then, you know what it is.
Ciao.
Stay gold. Point boy.